Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the third week of our live stream. So this is the third weekend we've done this, and now we've got it all figured out. Not really, but thank you so much for being with us. And I was just thinking, even over the last couple of weekends, the variety of people who have joined us. There are those of you who are Hillsiders. You call Hillside Community Church your home church, and I'm so glad that you're with us. There's others all across this nation and even all across the world. We've averaged about 30 states and 5 countries tuning into these live streams, and I just want to welcome you and say we're so glad that you're with us. And then there's others even here in our local area that go to other churches. We're so glad you are with us as well. I wanted to take just a minute and speak to those of you who call Hillside your home church, and I just wanted to do a couple of things. First of all, I just wanted to say I miss you. I miss you. This is really weird. There's 9 of us on this campus, this whole big campus. There's 9 of us. We didn't even ride the shuttle today. We're here, and we miss you. We miss worshiping with you. We miss shaking your hands and giving you hugs, and we miss being together. And this is weird. This is different. This is definitely not what we prefer. This is a new reality that we're in right now, and we're just trying to make the most of it. And thank you for doing that as well. I want to brag on our staff and on our board for just a minute. There has been so much prayer that has gone into these weeks, so much planning, so many hours of Zoom calls as we've been working from our homes, so many phone calls to people within our church, and people actually answer their phones in this season. That's pretty remarkable. There's been touching base with global partners, strategizing with our local partners. There's been meetings online for community groups to stay connected with each other, phone calls to volunteers, getting food to those who are in need. Resource lists for counseling and care have been crafted just in the last number of days. A project to get care packages for seniors. And I just wanted to brag on you, Hillside, brag on our staff and board and say thank you. I'm so proud of you. And also to say that's why your prayers, Hillsiders, matter so much. That's why your service matters so much. And even if that service in this season is simply a phone call or a text telling someone you're praying for them, that's service as well. That's why your generosity matters so much. Lives are being transformed in the midst of this trouble. And I want to say thank you for being with us. Thank you for hanging in there. Keep doing that. We're not going to be in this season forever, but we're in it for a while. And so we're trying to make the most of it. And so today, I want to talk to all of us on a topic called courage in crisis. Courage in crisis. And I'm going to attempt to answer 3 questions. So you're going to have to hang in to the very, very end to resolve these questions, but to attempt to answer these 3 questions. What do I do in the midst of crisis? What do I do? How do I respond? How do I handle that? What do I do with my fear of the future? And what do I do with my struggles with my sin? And I'm going to talk about it from 3 different perspectives. I'm going to talk about it from this perspective over here that I'm calling looking back into now. It's a looking back, but it's all and also a now. And how do we try to make sense of crisis with that perspective? Secondly, how do we make sense of just now? Just looking at now in the trouble and the suffering and the isolation that we find ourselves in. How do we make sense and face crisis now? And then thirdly, how do we, looking at now and into the future, how do we find from now into the future hope, confidence, courage to keep going? And so I'm going to talk today from John chapter 16. If you have a Bible, I would love for you to join us. If that's a tablet, a smartphone, a paper Bible like I have, I would love for you to find John 16 and join with me as we look at this passage. It's a familiar passage to some of us. It's been one of my favorite passages for about a decade as we've been in hard times as a family. But I've also missed some of the things that are going on here. Here in John 16, there's a promise of the Spirit of God. A promise that the disciples' grief that they have will soon turn into joy. A promise of how Jesus is going to be with us no matter what we face. And as I was reading this week in preparation to do an Instagram Live with our young adults, I had one of those aha, God kind of moments, and I just thought, this is a word for now. This is a word for right here, right now. So I'm going to start reading in John 16, verse 32. Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, get this, each to your own home. That's in the Bible. Each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I read this the other day, and I thought, I've known verse 33 for so long. I've quoted it. I've hung on to it. I've claimed it, and I haven't even necessarily seen verse 32. But Jesus says that there's coming a time to his disciples. You're going to be scattered. You're going to be sort of forced away. You're going to be pressed out, each of you, to your own home. This is like that original shelter in place, that original safer at home kind of a thing, but because you've been pushed out. And he's giving his disciples warning, but he's also giving them advanced knowledge that there are going to be times of isolation. There's going to be trouble in their lives. And each of you to your own private home, separate, all alone. That's the idea that Jesus is giving them. And I've had a number of conversations recently about the variety of pains that we feel right now because of this, whether that's a young adult at home, isolated, lonely, longing for connection, whether that's a family with young children, isolated, not alone, but isolated, saying, I need some help, or you're trying to get something done, but there's kids running all over the place, or you're now a homeschool parent and you never signed up to be a homeschool parent. Or you're a family like ours, three teenagers at home, and you're just trying to occupy energetic teenagers while being safer at home. Or I heard about a couple of people recently in Grief Share who've recently lost someone they love, and now they're sheltering at home in the home that they shared with the loved one who's no longer there. And we're all in this place of feeling that weight and feeling that trouble and feeling the wrestling of what's going on here. And Jesus, in some ways, is getting his disciples ready for those kinds of moments when we feel disconnected and isolated. Jesus does tell his disciples, listen, you need to understand that I'm not all alone because I'm with the Father. And Jesus is even in that moment inviting us into that kind of close, personal, intimate relationship like he has with his Father that we can have as well. In the next chapter 17, Jesus is going to pray for his disciples, pray for unity, pray for all believers. But before he prays for them, he gives them a reality check. It's a pay attention. It's a wake up kind of a moment. And Jesus gives these words in verse 33, and I'll read the first part of that. Jesus says, I've told you these things. All the teaching that's come before, all the preparation here in the upper room, I've told you these things. So that's a purpose statement, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Jesus gives them a purpose statement. For just a minute, all of you homeschooling parents that never signed up to be homeschooling parents, let me give an English lesson to your children, to your students. Listen up. And I just want to say that's very dangerous if I ever give an English lesson in my life. But this is a purpose statement, so that. It's a statement of purpose. And in purpose statements, you have a problem statement. You have an audience that it's addressed to. You have a solution. And so here Jesus is giving a purpose statement, and he's saying there's a problem. You will have trouble. There's an audience. Who is it addressed to? All people, but specifically those who are followers of Christ. And there's a solution. Will you respond to Jesus' invitation to have peace? And what Jesus says is peace is possible. There's the possibility for peace no matter what we are going through. He says it's possible, but listen, he doesn't promise peace. He gave an invitation. You may have peace in trouble, or maybe you don't. It's possible, but it's not promised. But it's not like flippant, like when I was young in middle school. I don't know if middle schoolers do this anymore. Like if you had a crush on somebody, you would like pick a flower. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. Jesus isn't saying this is flippant, like maybe I'll give you my peace, maybe I won't. He's saying peace is available if we choose to turn to him for that peace, no matter what is going on in our lives. What kind of peace is available? Peace with God? Peace with ourselves? Peace in our circumstances? Peace in the fact that there's still purpose ahead of us, no matter what is going on in us right now. There's peace that is possible. There's the peace Jesus talks about in Romans chapter 5. There's peace that is available. This is like salvation kind of peace in Christ. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 5, where Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Because we've been justified through faith, that there's this peace in Christ that is available as we trust God with our lives. There's that kind of peace. That's the back then, there's a work done. That's past tense. There's a peace right now that's available. That's why Paul says that we can have peace that passes all understanding. But there's a prerequisite. Paul says, as we give our burdens over to God with thanksgiving, we make our requests known. There's a peace that passes understanding that comes through that now. But then there's also a peace that allows us to not fear the future because there's purpose. There's a peace that makes us peacemakers into the future. And even in Romans, again, Paul talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who spread the gospel of peace, that there's purpose in our lives. And Jesus is talking about these aspects of peace that can be ours. They're possible in Jesus. But there's a warning. But in this world, you will have trouble. Because in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus doesn't say this is a condition that maybe you'll have trouble. He doesn't say if you happen to ever have trouble. It's a promise. Jesus is saying, in this world, you will have trouble. That's a reality check. In this world, not the physical planet, not the planet Earth, but the systems of the world, the way the world works. There's in our world a system of evil, self-promotion, greed. But this also refers to the people who are caught in the systems and structures of this world. And it's the "for God so loved the world" part, that in this world, you and I will have trouble. Trouble is literally a pressure. It's a pressing. It's a squeezing that Jesus is warning us of. It's as if I were to have an orange and I were to squeeze it and it would drip orange juice. But the truth is, if I squeezed it even harder, a little bit more juice would come out. If I squeezed it even more, maybe a little bit more orange juice would come out. And there's a pressing that some of us have never been in this kind of pressing before. Some of us have never been in this kind of trouble before. Some of us are in the moment of now, and we don't know if we can handle it. And as we're being squeezed, maybe for some of us, peace is coming out. If as we're being squeezed, maybe some of us, anger is being squeezed out. For some of us, maybe we're being squeezed and kindness is coming out. But for some of us, the veneer of the kindness is gone, and right now it's just a meanness or a self-centeredness. There's a trouble that brings those things out. And the reality check that Jesus is giving his disciples is a reality check that those of us listening, those of us living in America, need to be reminded of this. If we actually read our Bibles and if we actually pay attention, there's no way we'll miss this simple truth in Scripture or in history. Trouble will be a reality of our lives on this earth, so let's get ready. But many of us are not ready. So now we're in a situation where we're surprised because trouble has come and things aren't easy and we're not getting our way. And I remember Peter's reminder to us in 1 Peter 4, don't be surprised at what's going to come. As if something strange is happening to you. Others are saying, are we living in the last days? Are these the end times? And in a way I would say, well, yeah. But the truth is, followers of Christ have been saying we're living in the end days for 2,000 years, so it's no different than that. But these are real days that we're living in with real troubles, and we wrestle with what do we do with the trouble. But just before the passage I started reading, John talks about the trouble, the pain that a pregnant mother is in while she's in labor. And he says, in the reality of a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish. She forgets the trouble because of the joy that a child is born into the world. And I believe with everything in me, through the trouble we're going through, God wants to birth something in me. In the trouble we're in, God wants to birth something in our homes, in our hearts, in our churches, in our nation. What is it maybe that God wants to birth? I don't know for you, but maybe it's a deeper hope. Maybe it's a more authentic faith. Maybe it's the courage that you don't have to fear what's ahead. You can live with expectation and courage and seize the moments God has for us. In this world, though, Jesus says, we will have trouble. And we have to choose, will we navigate it in Jesus or on our own? Will we look to Jesus in the midst of trouble, or are we going to try to do it on our own, or look to politics to bring us peace, or look for economics to give us hope, or look to Dr. Fauci to bring us help? And I really like Dr. Fauci a lot. What are we going to look for? Who are we going to look to? And here in this moment of now, I believe Jesus is saying, don't waste your waiting. Don't squander your suffering. Make the most of every opportunity. And I'm just reminded, I see it happening. I see followers of Christ living for Jesus in these days. I hear about families who are connecting as they never have before. I see as I drive through my neighborhoods, I didn't even know people lived in those houses. There's people everywhere walking dogs and with family together. I see a regard for the vulnerable that's been missing in our nation. I see friends connecting with friends through social media. I see times in Bible and prayer in my life and in the lives of others that are richer than they've been in a long time, because we're reminded this light and momentary trouble is achieving an eternal glory. God is at work. He's not finished. And we need to be reminded, peace is possible. Peace is possible. But trouble is promised. So we got to get ready. We have to choose, where are we going to look? To whom are we going to look? Let me finish reading verse 33. So Jesus has said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I love those words. Take heart. It literally means to have courage or be of good cheer, but take courage. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Some of the greatest news that you and I could ever hear, ever imagine. Jesus says, take courage. I've overcome the world. In the New Testament, this word or phrase, take courage, is only spoken by Jesus. It's only in the imperative, a command. And Jesus says it to a man and to a woman in Matthew 9 who are both sick. And he says, take courage in the midst of your sickness. He says to frightened disciples, take courage as they're scared to death. He says to a blind man, take courage. He says to Paul, he appears to Paul in a vision. And Paul has been preaching boldly in Jerusalem. And Jesus comes in a vision and says, go to Rome, take courage, I'm with you. I love the instance in Matthew 14 where Jesus has just performed a great miracle of feeding 5,000 people with very little food. And after this amazing miracle, Jesus withdraws and he goes up on a mountain by himself to pray. Social distancing, 101. He sends the disciples into a boat to cross to the other side of the lake. And as the disciples are in the middle of the lake, this furious storm comes and they're scared to death. Now, these are sailors. They're used to storms, but this storm is unusual and they're scared to death. In the middle of their fright, in the middle of the night, as the storm is raging, they look and they see a figure. Someone is walking on the water in the middle of the storm, and it's sort of like bad to worse. It gets even worse as they're now already scared to death. Now they have no idea what to do. They think it's a ghost and they're just freaking out. And Jesus appears to them, and Jesus comes near to them walking on the water, and he says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a moment or if you're in one right now where it feels like bad to worse. where it feels like everything is out of control. Where it feels like you just don't know how much more you can handle, or you just don't want to think about the future because it all feels too crazy. Maybe you need to hear these words from Jesus. Take courage. Do not be afraid. It's this reminder that when he is with us, he will not allow anything to come into our lives without it being filtered through his hands. He's still in control, even when life doesn't make sense. Because, here's the reminder, it's not just take courage like you're going to be okay. It's Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And this word, overcome, is from the noun Greek word, Nike. So I wore my Nikes for you today. But the verb is nikeo, and it's this overcoming, it's victory, it's conquering, it's prevailing. And Jesus says, I have overcome. Here we are 2 weeks away from Easter, and I just want to remind you, God doesn't need to do anything else to demonstrate how much he loves us. He's already sent Jesus to a cross. Jesus has already died for us. Resurrection power has already taken. And all these people that I'm seeing on social media these days that seem so fearful, but say they're Christians, or they seem so wrapped up into what is God doing? I just want to remind you what God has already done. Through Jesus, on a cross, he's already died, taken the judgment of our sins on himself. And it killed him. They buried him, but nothing could hold him back. He didn't stay in the grave. He didn't stay dead. After 3 days, we remember this happened. No grave, no tomb, no person, no problem could hold him back. He arose victoriously. He overcame. And so we look back to remember what Jesus has done, not just on Easter Sunday, but right here, right now, in the midst of our problems, we remember what Jesus has done. And here's what Jesus says, I have overcome. And Jesus says if we could just remember how he has overcome, he's preparing us. Let me move this out of the way. He's preparing us, his disciples, for right now. And he's saying because he's overcome, we can have peace through Christ, and we can have peace in now as we live and as we navigate these days because he's overcome. So there's no trouble, there's no virus, there's no economic disaster that can separate us from the love of Christ. Take courage now. And Jesus says, also, the overcoming that we've been invited into in Jesus' life is also able to free us from fear of the future, able to plant a hope deep inside of us that helps us to look to the future from now and not get stuck in a moment, but to have perspective. God's story isn't finished. Jesus is still working. And for those of us who are in Christ, here's what we're told. Not only does Jesus overcome, but he makes us overcomers. And here we are in John chapter 16, three chapters from the cross. Three chapters from death, burial, resurrection. But before we get there, we've got to hear this vision. Jesus isn't walking to the cross defeated and discouraged. He's going to the cross victoriously as an overcomer. And he doesn't say, hey, disciples, cheer up, try harder, you can do it. He says, no, I have overcome. And through my victory, I can give you victory. He invites us into his victory. I love how in 1 John, John writes about this reality. And John writes, for everyone born of God, what's the word? Overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith, our belief, our trust in Jesus. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We're invited into this reality of Jesus' overcoming life, courage in every situation to be overcomers ourselves because of who Christ is and what Christ has done. And this isn't a faith like an easy believe. I made a decision way back when. It's we're being disciples, given courage and the power of the Holy Spirit to have the perspective of back then and everything that Jesus has done that applies to now and fills us with hope for the future, because this is what it means to overcome. This word, nikeo, overcome, is used 28 times in the New Testament. Interestingly enough, 17 of those times is in Revelation. And in Revelation, we have multiple descriptions of the effects of our future overcoming in Jesus and what that looks like. One example is Revelation 12, and it says, they, those of us who follow Christ, those of us who are overcomers, they triumphed, overcame the evil one, the enemy. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, thank you, Jesus, and by the word of their testimony, because they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They were bold, courageous. We're seeing that there's the end of the story that fills us with hope and confidence. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they didn't love their lives to shrink back from death. They were courageous no matter what, because Jesus helped those of us who don't give up and keep on trusting to be overcomers, victorious in him. Courage in every crisis, courage in every moment. This doesn't mean that it's easy, but it means there's a power available to us that no matter what we're facing or no matter what we're going through, Jesus can lead us to victory over the circumstances. There's some of us who maybe we're in this season of life where we need this perspective because we don't have it. This is that perspective that maybe you could call salvation. That all of us need to be reminded of what this moment is, but some of us have never experienced it. This is answering or trying to address the question, what do I do with my struggles? What do I do with my sin when we feel we have nowhere to give them, but we're stuck ourselves? And this is what I want to refer to as peace in Christ, salvation. Peace in him. And maybe if you're honest, you would say, I've never had that. I've never had any peace in Christ. I've never given my life over to Jesus. I've never surrendered. I've tried to handle life on my own. And I just want to tell you, there's a beautiful invitation that it's for someone today, that Jesus is just inviting you. I have peace. I have life. I want to work in your life. And maybe today is the day of salvation. Maybe today is the day that you would just say, Jesus, I need you. But see, this is a big deal. We get stuck here, and look, that's elevated, that's higher. And when this position perspective is elevated, we don't see necessarily the reality. So let me do a little trade. I want to trade this for this, because I want to elevate this reality right now. I want to elevate to say, this is so important. This matters so much. You can't neglect this. I can't neglect this. We need Jesus in our lives. And I would just invite you, if you've never prayed this today for the first time, pray, Jesus, I need you. To call out, Jesus, I give you my life. We've got prayer partners in the chat rooms that would love for you just to respond if you just typed out in the chat room, Jesus, I need you. If on our app or our web, you went to the need prayer right now, we have people who would love to walk with you through the process of what does it mean to know Jesus? This peace with God that is possible in Jesus and only through Jesus' strength, because he's overcome. He sets us free from our sin. He fills us with hope because of his grace. We can't earn it. We receive it. And maybe today, somebody needs to, for the first time, just say, God, I need you. Jesus, I give you my life. Let somebody pray with you, if that's you. Second, this perspective of now. This perspective of now addresses the question, what do I do with my anxiety? What do I do with my fear? How do I live out what I believe? And here's the problem that I see in this. often we've elevated this way higher than this, and I can't do this, but we've elevated this to such a degree that this is our only perspective. We lose perspective of here, we lose this perspective, and we're stuck in this moment as if this is the only moment that matters or the only moment that informs us. But what I believe is this moment, it does matter, but there's a new reality, maybe a new invitation. Let me make a little bit of a change. It's more of this kind of reality. It's important, but there's something else that's more important. And we can only understand now, sort of in an elementary way, but there's like a varsity level here that informs now. And the hope of the peace that we have in Christ, the salvation that we have in Christ, is what enables the peace that passes understanding right now. But we get so fixated on now. We get so focused on now. We get so overcome by now that we're not overcomers. And Jesus, I believe, invites us to a reality shift that says, you and I can take courage right here, right now, because of what was done then. And what he has done is clearly seen more even than what he's doing. But we can trust he's still doing so much in our lives and all around us because he has overcome the world. It's a reality shift. It's a perspective change. Yes, now matters, but it doesn't matter the most. And there's another invitation then that Jesus gives us to look at the future. And what do I do in crisis? And how do I not fear the future? But see, this is just that medium level. It's a little bit better than that, but it's not as good as that. And I really believe for those of us who are following Christ, the scriptures are given to say, this isn't a mid-level kind of thing. I need to make another change. It's we need to elevate our perspective of the future. We need to elevate our perspective on the promises of God. We need to remember he has spoken clearly and we can trust him. He is the God who was and is and will be, and we can take him at his word no matter what is going on. You and I, the God of the Bible, we have a God we can trust with time and eternity, and we can have hope and confidence and courage because he isn't finished yet. And the end of the story, the remainder of the story, talks about the restoration, talks about how we who follow him get to enter into his overcoming life, and we can have courage. And the courage of the future informs the now and gives us a confidence that we can sit in the in-between moments where it doesn't make sense and we don't fully understand, with a confidence that our God has been faithful and he has accomplished on a cross everything that is needed for you and I to have grace and forgiveness and hope and eternal life, and to have confidence that he isn't finished yet and the story isn't over and there's still purpose and there's still a plan, and we're invited to have this hope that God gives to take courage and follow him one step at a time. I'm remembered again and again these days that all throughout history, the history of the church, the history of the world has been one of plagues and famines and wars and outbreaks all over the place. And in the fourth century in Caesarea, there was a moment where war and famine had already afflicted the city of Caesarea. A plague hit in the early fourth century, and the people began to flee from the city, one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire. And as they're fleeing, there was one group that was staying behind. And as Eusebius, the bishop of the city, wrote during that time, all day long, some of them, the Christians, were tending to the dying, caring for those who were alone, giving food to those who were hungry. And he goes on to state that because of the compassion of the Christians in the midst of the plague, the Christians' deeds, here's the quote, their deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians because they kept on loving They kept on serving. They kept on having courage. They didn't get paralyzed in their purpose because they were stuck in a moment. And I just want to encourage you, take courage now. Some of you need to take courage and you need to turn to Jesus and you need to surrender your life and you need to say, I need you, Lord, I need you. Some of you need to take courage now in the moment and say, I'm an overcomer because of who Christ is. No fear, no anxiety can hold me back. Some of us need to take courage in the future and in our purpose that God is inviting us into, and in the big and in the small ways. We're going to do something right now very unique. I'm going to invite you to take a step of courage and be a person who reaches out and puts this into practice. We're going to do something together because it's one tangible step we all can do in the midst of this. And so I'm going to invite you to get out your cell phone. Get out your computer, whatever. Have some device that you can text, you can email right now, right here. I'm going to do this like live time with you right now. And I want you to go through your contacts. I want you to real quick pray who's the first name that pops in your mind, and you're going to send them a message right here, right now. You're going to send them a message of God's peace. And so I'm going to go through my contacts. Go through your contacts. Just pick somebody. Just pick somebody. Go through your contacts. No, not them. No, definitely not him. No, not her. Who are you going to pick? I don't know. I got to pick somebody. Okay, I'm finding somebody right now. And here's what I want you to do. We're going to send a simple message, all of us, right now. Something like this. I just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. I want to let you know I'm praying for you. I pray God fills you with his peace today. No, not God deals you with his peace. He fills you with his peace. Not he fails you with his peace. He fills you with his peace. Okay, now I got it. Send. What would happen in the small ways if we start encountering the courage right here that comes from Christ, that leads us into the future? We become peacemakers that offer courage to other people, that remind them of who they are in Christ, and we together, the church, start living for him, serving him, doing what we've been invited to do so that Jesus can do what only he can do. Take courage. Jesus has overcome. Amen? Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your grace. We pray that you would lead us to live lives of overcoming. You are our God, our living hope, and we look to you. For your life and your peace and your grace. Your comfort. We look to you, Jesus, who has overcome, that in the midst of our troubles, we could experience the peace that only you can give. We could experience the courage that only you can give to face today and to look forward to tomorrow. We love you, Jesus. And I pray for those who are watching that you would help them, whether that's they need to start in that first perspective and they need to turn to you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Or whether they're in the now and they're paralyzed in the now, stuck in a moment, that you would give them courage right now. Or whether that's fear of the future that has just almost terrorized their thoughts, that you would fill them with hope for the future because you are still on the move, Jesus, and we trust you. It's in your name we pray.